broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass each and every night to take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they shan't.
And they can't.
And they can't. And they won't. Anyway, welcome back to our show. Our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And if you go there, you may find some calm. Oh, well, you'll find some laughs. Just go over there, get a backstage pass. You'll have live screaming video.
You ought to call it live screaming video, live screaming audio.
Live screaming and live streaming video of our show, and also our archive, which is the largest, the deepest, the widest, the thickest, the fattest, the most. It's starting to get a little erotic. Anyway, it's the biggest archive of any single radio show in the history of the world, and we will continue to make that claim until somebody proves us wrong, which in point of fact they can't, because it's true, baby. 877-876-PHIL. We want to thank Jay Sanders for coming on our program and making an even bigger ass out of himself this time than he did last time.
Yeah, I can't understand what Jay's saying. People want to go over there, then don't go over there.
Well, this whole thing about how, wait, Phil, I work my ass off. If I see a woman sitting on the toilet naked, can't I take a little time for myself?
Man, what a sicko.
Sick. That doesn't even abide the telling, man. And whoever the hell else we started the show with, I forget, but be that as it may. Oh, who did we start the show with?
Let me look it up.
Can't remember from one minute to the next. Also, Mr. Roland Schwinn checking in with us on this lawsuit. Oh, Dave Castorini was with us, too. What a sick animal he is. Talking about the fact that his youth ministry will offer Marcus Bachman six solid, good quality hours with a woman to see if that doesn't prove he's straight. You know, but that really is, you know.
Well, you got to clean your act up, man.
I got a what?
I said, you got to clean your act up. You can't keep talking about that man being straight or gay. That's his business.
Oh, well, I'm not going to keep talking about it, but here's the thing. You know, his wife is a candidate for president of the United States, and one of the issues that she has made a big issue out of is gay rights, gay marriage, gay this, gay that. And she can do whatever she wants, when she wants, and how she wants. But if she's got a husband that's in the closet, then I think it becomes a legitimate point of conversation.
Yeah, but you don't know if the guy is. If he is, it's his business.
I understand that. It's a very good point. It's a very good point. Bud, you're right. If the man, maybe the guy is dealing with these issues in his own way and in his own time, and it's his life, and he can do what the hell he wants, and you're absolutely right. So, but I don't think it's wrong to at least ask the question, you know, well, you say that you have certain attitudes. Have you seen your husband lately? Well, what do you mean? What do I mean? Well, I don't, you know, who knows? All right. Man paid more, jerks paid more. What does that mean? At work, it pays to be a jerk, literally. A paper co-authored by a University of Notre Dame professor shows that moderately disagreeable men earn an average of 18% or $9,772 more than the average or modestly agreeable men. Both groups of men, though, earn more than the average salary for women, regardless of their workplace disposition. While women are still lagging behind men in pay, disagreeable women earned 5% or $1,828 over their more pleasant peers. The paper, Do Nice Guys and Gals Really Finish Last?, was published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. You know that saying, do nice guys finish last? It was the phrase was coined by Leo Durocher, who I think was either the manager of the Giants, the New York Giants, back in the early 50s, or one of their coaches, or maybe he was one of their bat boy. No, anyway, Leo Durocher came up with that. He said, nice guys finish last.
What do you mean by that?
That's what he meant. Nice guys. If you're a nice guy, if you're sweet and you're kind and you're nice to people and you're opening doors and you're, oh, no, that's okay. I'll if somebody needs to wait for the delivery guy, who will do that? Oh, I'll do it. Okay. Who'll drive Eddie home? I'll do it. That kind of thing, which I've been guilty of in my life, by the way.
Yeah, you said you did that when you were a kid.
I did. I was the kid in the family. I've said this before. I was the kid in my family that, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, sure, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. That was me. And what happens to those people when you're a child is you become that person as an adult, but you become more, you get very, very edgy and prickly and angry when people take advantage of you, but you still do it. As a kid, of course, you're not allowed to get angry. You're not allowed to do any of those things. Otherwise, the adults will knock you back into place. But when you're an adult, you continue to try to take care of people. You continue to try to be a nice guy, and you wind up getting it stuck to you, which is what happens, and then you get angry. See?
Well, I mean, but you're not a nice guy when you get angry.
No, you are definitely not a nice guy when you get angry. So that gives people a double whammy. Not only, you know, you're doing everything that you asked them to do, and now you're getting pissed because they're not giving you any recognition or love as the result of that. And now they have they can say, oh, wow, what a mean person you are. You say, what are you talking about? I just did all of this stuff for you. No, you got mad. So what happens is this. People who tend to be these kinds of slobs that are always doing stuff for people, we always wind up with the most selfish people.
But there's the people who are always taking stuff.
Yes. We wind up with people who are the most narcissistic and selfish people. So all they do is just take, and they got the ideal mate, somebody who's give. And let me tell you something. It can be a disaster. It can be a disaster in your life. Published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, Do Nice Guys and Gals Really Finish Last? The Joint Effects of Sex and Agreeableness on Income.
That was right up your alley.
On income. Was written by Judge Cornell University's Beth Livingston and Charlie's Hurst of the University of Western Ontario. Nice guys do not necessarily finish last, but they do finish a distant second in terms of earnings, the paper says. Yet, seen from the perspective of gender equity, even the nice guys seem to be making out quite well relative to either agreeable or disagreeable women. The point here for me is not whether these guys are making more money than women. The point here is that men and women who are agreeable make less than their jackball co-workers. And it's very, very simple. When you're one of the people of the world that just, oh, yeah, sure, I'll go ahead and do it. When you're agreeable, well, yeah, then you're not going to drive a hard bargain when you're negotiating a salary. You're not going to, you know. And these people that do and do wind up being the office jackass, yeah, you bet that they're disagreeable slobs that you know, a lot of people don't like them. And ask them if they care, and the answer is no.
Well, you said like them sociopaths.
I don't know if they're sociopaths. I'm just telling you, they don't care what people think. They just don't care what people think. Are they bad people? No, I don't say they're bad people. There have been days in my life I wish I was one of them. I'm not kidding you. There have been days in my life that I wish I was one of those people that can walk all over people and get a good night's sleep. I mean, I've known them. I've seen them. They exist. Don't tell me they don't, because I've seen them. But am I one of them? No, unfortunately, I'm not.
So, I mean, you, people walked all over you?
Pretty much, yes, bud. You got it.
Man, well, you've done pretty good for a guy that got walked on.
What are you laughing about?
That's funny to me. I've done pretty good for a guy that's gotten walked on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, for a guy that's been walked on, I've done pretty good. Which ain't all that great compared to guys that do the walking. Anyway.
You say doing the walking.
Never mind, all right? Timothy Judge, the study co-author, said he was inspired to research the wage differences between agreeable and disagreeable men and women by a few famous faces, including Martha Stewart's. I had done a few studies on the gender wage gape. But the real, he must be Canadian.
Yeah.
But the real thing that made me think of it was the Martha Stewart trial when she was prosecuted for making false statements. This was a couple of years after Bill Clinton did the same thing. She went to jail. He didn't. Hillary Clinton also made him wonder, well, what has that got to do with it? What is he talking about? What's he talking about?
I think he's saying that that's a gender difference.
Yeah, that is a gender difference. Although we're talking about nice as opposed to not nice. Then you can talk about the gender difference. What are you saying now? Martha Stewart is nice and Bill Clinton isn't, and he's also a man and she's a woman, so therefore she got double screwed? Hillary Clinton also made him wonder how people's personality and gender played out in their careers. I think she's a disagreeable... Oh, you think she's a disagreeable person, huh? Now all of a sudden this guy sounds like a jackass. I thought you were a scientist. I think she's a disagreeable person, but the passion that arouses it is amazing compared to disagreeable male leaders. I think she's a disagreeable person, he said. Hillary Clinton also made him wonder how people's personality and gender... What about you, Mr. Judge? All of a sudden, you and your study ain't smelling too good here.
Well, what don't you like about it?
Well, the guy was doing fine when he was talking about agreeable versus disagreeable people, men versus women. Okay, I get it. Now, the comparisons that are being made here are stupid. Bill Clinton with Martha Stewart. And then he says, I think Hillary Clinton's disagreeable. Maybe, maybe not. How do I know? I'm not interested in your opinion, pal. You're a scientist. Give me the facts, baby. Only the facts. Just like the guy from Dragnet.
Yeah, Joe Friday.
Yeah, just the facts. The researchers used interviews with thousands of people in different stages of their careers to come to the conclusion that niceness in the form of the trait of agreeableness does not appear to pay. So basically what we have here, folks, is that every day there seems to be a study that verifies what we already instinctively know.
Yeah, like a lot of the stuff that people know, and then they have a scientist proving it.
Yeah.
It's exactly right. So we may say, is it really true that nice guys finish last? Is it really true that women are more intuitive? Is it really true that men can hold their hold their urine longer and on long car trips, whatever? Men have bigger bladders? I don't know. Well, let's scientifically apply this information and see what we... And you know, Bud, as I've taught you and Robert, what's the first thing you do when you want to prove a point?
You got to prove that it's false.
Exactly. Are women intuitive? Let's set out first to prove that they're not. You have to prove that. Now, you can't just say, and if you believe, give you another example, if you believe that 9/11 was caused by, say, you know, was an inside job, if you're a real scientist, the first thing you do is set out to prove that it was not an inside job, that it was, in fact, something else. Not necessarily knowing what that is, because you don't want to say, oh, I'm going to prove, I really believe it was an inside job, so I'm going to prove instead that it was done by Al-Qaeda. No, you don't want to do that. You just want to prove that it was not an inside job. That's what they don't do with 9/11 Truth. That's what a lot of scientists don't do. And I suspect they did do that with this study because it sounds scientific, even though the guy that did it sounds like a total jackball. All right.
Yeah, you say that because you don't like Hillary Clinton.
He don't. I'm not necessarily a fan of hers either, but give me a break, you know. How do you just say, she doesn't seem like, she doesn't seem like the kind of woman that would want to be Secretary of State. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Men happier than women. 42-year-old professional women are the unhappiest of all. It's another one of these studies. Now, this one I find really hard to believe. The first three winners at Belmont on Sunday were the horses 9, 1, and 1. Are you serious? Are they serious? Am I serious? Is this serious? No, it isn't. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's something much better. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Facebook, don't send me emails about what you're going to do. You know, I'm so close to getting off of Facebook. I'm so close to just leaving Facebook forever. You think I'm comfortable being on a website that was founded by hackers? You must be out of your minds. And I'll tell you something else. You people that are on, and when I say you people, I don't really know who I'm referencing, but you guys that are on Facebook who, at the same time you're on Facebook, you're on the... Remember the Joe Stack thing?
Yeah, that's the guy that crashed the plane in a building.
Exactly. And everybody was saying, oh, Joe Stack, he's my hero, because he knows what's going on, because the government's this and the government's that. Yeah, well, take this one and, do what you want with it. If you're sweating the government, what are you doing on a website founded by hackers? These people make me laugh. I'm telling you, I'm going to laugh until I get sick. They're talking about the government this and the government that and the government something else, giving the government the powers of that eyeball in Lord of the Rings.
Be not one of the tower, right?
Yeah, whatever the hell that eyeball was, you know.
Yeah, that's the eye that could see everybody or whatever.
I don't know what the hell it was, but in any event, that's what they think the government, the U.S. government is. That's the kind of power that they think. The government hasn't got that kind of power. Let me tell you who's got that kind of power. Facebook! You know, get a clue. And now Facebook, hey, Phil, we'd like to try out, you know what, why don't you take your entire business and shove it, okay? I'm on Facebook because, yes, it is a social media site that is important. I'm going to be talking about this at the NAB in Chicago. We're going to go over to the fan page. We'll have our fan page, but I'm not investing any more time than I have to in that jackass Facebook. And Twitter, you guys aren't far behind. I don't know what your problem is or what your story is over there at Twitter, but you are strange. The way you dole out those blue check marks.
You got a blue check mark yet?
I ain't going to get a blue check mark. Are you crazy? There are. I don't know what it takes to get a blue check mark. I'll give you an example. KNEW in San Francisco that has about 600 followers has a blue check mark. Phil Hendry, who has around 7,000 followers, I ain't got one. So I don't know what it takes, but I guess you have to pay. I think it's all about money. But that's the angle there. You know, you pay for all the perks over there at Twitter. And over at Facebook, it's anybody's guess. But Facebook is a marvelous, marvelous confluence of people that are paranoid, that are not very bright but think they're geniuses, of people that buy into the black ops and black helicopter and Obama this is a socialist and Obama that is something else and George Bush is this and something else. And they buy into that. And they're all over there sharing their opinions about life and love and liberty and this. And meanwhile, they're on a website where the guys that run it can hack in and get anything they want from you. Anything they want. They got your phone number. They've got anything they want. They got from you. You gave it to them willingly. And you're talking about Joe Stat. All right. First three winners at Belmont on Sunday, a 9, a 1, and a 1. Now this, if you want to talk about weird, this is what I call weird. And when I say it's fixed, I don't want to insult anybody. So no, I'm not going to say it's fixed. But I'll tell you, the only thing that convinces me that it is not fixed is the following. There's a lot of people that played these numbers as a hunch. Now, it is possible that while a lot of people played these numbers as a hunch, and there were a lot of people, because the first three winners at Belmont on Sunday were the numbers 9, 1, and 1. Those three horses came in first for the first three races. That's your pick three of the day, and you can bet that. You can bet your pick three, first three races, and if you pick right, then you win whatever the odds call for. In this particular instance, the numbers 9, 1, and 1 for the first three races, on a $2 bet, they paid $18.60. Now, that's not a lot of money. And that tells you one thing. A lot of people bet those numbers. So a lot of people betting those numbers, it means that it's not a big payout. And so fixing the race so that it comes in 9-1-1 means what exactly?
Well, you're going to win.
Yeah, you're going to win, I guess. But first of all, you talk about a tip-off. You know, if ever there was anybody who was going to investigate something as being fixed, they're going to look at that. So that's why I believe it is legitimate. And I realize that's probably not much of a reason that I'm giving you, but I just think it's a legit situation. I don't know. I mean, is it possible that the one horse was out in front in the second race and there was another horse that the jockey thought, screw it, let him win? I don't know. I don't think so. Jockeys don't think that way. They're athletes. They're just like any other athlete. They want to win. On the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, the first three winners at Belmont on Sunday were the horses wearing the numbers 9, 1, and 1. The fact that it happened at a local track that served as a staging area for workers and emergency vehicles in the days following the destruction of the World Trade Center made the outcome even more stunning. David Jacobson, the trainer at Drawing Away Stable, which owns Say Toba Sandy and Wishful Tomcat, the day's first two winners, said, quote, the odds were probably about 1,000,000 to 1. Well, no, they weren't 1,000,000 to 1 there, Dave. It paid $18.60 for a $2 bet, so that's like 9 to 1. Say Toba Sandy, who took the first race, likes to play close to the pace, said Jacobson. The six-year-old mare hung near the top of the pack and closed in the end for the win. Well, we'll give you the rest of this as we return from our news break coming up here. But the first three nags at, horses at Belmont, the 9, the 1, and the 1. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Let's see what else. Well, there is something
Phil
else.
Henry.
We'll find it.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, it's world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talking entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. What are you looking at, bud?
What are you staring at?
I'll stare at what I want to stare at. I'm looking at you staring at me.
You look like you're staring at something else.
Well, maybe I am staring at something. I'm looking at the clock. I'm looking at the audio I'm trying to load. I'm talking to the people at home. And you're staring at me like I'm some kind of a freak of nature.
Yeah, man, what are you looking at the guy like he's in a zoo? You're looking at him like he's in a primate house.
Well, it is kind of like looking at a monkey.
What do you mean it's like looking at a monkey? Me?
Yeah.
Well, don't belch in my face.
Sorry.
It's like looking at a monkey, huh? Well.
I feel a lot of people like looking at you.
Well, they might like looking at me, man, because, I do a very, physical show, man. The radio show that we do here is about the weirdest thing you people are ever going to see. If you do not have a backstage pass. By the way, I want to mention we're on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. Go over there and start following me, please, so that we can have millions and millions of followers and show the world that this radio show is not just a great radio show, but that we have Twitter locked up, that we've got Facebook down, that we have the hammer!
Yeah! Did I get the showbiz hammer?
It's the showbiz hammer, man. Manny Ramirez arrested after a fight with his wife. You know, I'm looking at this news tonight, and it's 6-1, half into the other. We have the insurgents attacking the NATO embassy, the government, the this, the that, the this, the that. What was the other story I was looking at? Manny Ramirez arrested after a fight with his wife. And then there was one other thing. Oh, I forget, man. We did the Belmont story, right?
Yeah.
Former World Series MVP Manny Ramirez made his first court appearance on Tuesday after authorities arrested him. Oh, by the way, you better take the trash out tonight, man, because today's Wednesday, right?
Yeah, right now, Wednesday.
Yeah, get the trash out, bud.
When are you leaving to go to Chicago?
I'm leaving Thursday morning to go to Chicago. I will be leaving to go to Chicago in 24 plus 5 is how much?
30.
No, man, it's 29.
Yeah, I mean 29.
30. So in 29 hours, I'm leaving to go to Chicago. And when I come back, I want that trash out, man, because when I, you know, but when you don't take the trash out.
I know.
Well, no, you don't know, man, because when you don't take the trash out, it stinks like there's a dead body laying around here. You understand that?
Yeah, I know.
That's because they're throwing out all that meat.
Well, I'm not throwing out any meat. These are steak bones, dude. If we had a dog around here. You got to take the trash out. Otherwise, I come walking in to the studio here, and it stinks like there's been, I don't know what, man. So take it out.
What about all that recycling stuff?
Take that out, too.
Yeah, but they won't let you put trash in there.
They don't want what? Don't put any trash in the recycling. Oh, God. Anyway, Manny Ramirez, talking about recycling. Manny Ramirez was arrested after a fight with his wife. Former World Series MVP Manny Ramirez made his first court appearance Tuesday after authorities arrested him over a domestic dispute at his South Florida home and was ordered to have no direct contact with his wife. There, see?
Is that a restraining order?
I don't know if it's a restraining order, but he's been told not to have any contact with her. Broward Circuit Judge John Hurley set bail at $2,500 on the domestic battery charge, but it wasn't immediately clear when Ramirez would leave Broward County Jail. Broward Sheriff's officials say 39-year-old Ramirez was arguing with his wife, Juliana, Monday afternoon when he slapped her face, causing her to hit her head on their bed's headboard. She told the deputy she was afraid the situation would escalate. Authorities say Ramirez denied hitting his wife. Ramirez retired in April from the Tampa Bay Rays after he tested positive for a performance-enhancing substance. Rather than face a 100-game suspension for a second violation of the Major League Baseball drug policy, the 12-time All-Star left the game. This is a guy that has left the game because on the heels of substance abuse, okay, allegations. He's 39 years old, so how many more years did he have anyway? I mean, he's going through, these ball players go through a separation depression, you know.
Probably because they ain't going to play no baseball.
Because they're not going to play any baseball anymore, yeah. I'm not excusing it, by the way. You know, you got to butch up, you got to suck it up. I mean, sure, you're entitled to be, you're entitled to your depression. You're not entitled to smack people around, but I get it. You're not entitled to smack people around, but hey, you know, what's a little slap? I'm kidding, okay?
Yeah, because people are going to call up and say you think ladies should be slapped.
I never said anything of the sort. I'm joking. Anyway, they said that the 39-year-old Ramirez was arguing with his wife. She was afraid the situation would escalate. He slapped her. Her head hit the headboard. Authorities say Ramirez has denied hitting his wife. He previously served a 50-game ban in 2009 with the L.A. Dodgers. Second-time offenders get double that penalty. I wonder what this has to do with him slapping his wife. I understand about his substance abuse problems. One of the game's great sluggers. How's he one of the game's great sluggers when he has had two substance abuse problems here? Performance-enhancing substances. He tested positive for a performance-enhancing substance, facing a 100-game suspension. He was previously banned for 50 games. Because of the Major League Baseball drug policy, so how's he one of the game's great sluggers?
Because he hit a lot.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, if the guy was using performance-enhancing substances, how do you say he's one of the great performers? Or is that what it means to be one of the great performers? That's the thing about baseball. I don't know what it means anymore. He signed with the Red Sox as a free agent in December 2000, helping the long-suffering franchise win the World Series a few years later, then doing it again in 2007. The Sox traded him to the Dodgers in July of 2008. He instantly became a fan favorite on the West Coast, with Manny Wood signs popping up around town as he led the Dodgers to the National League West title, a sweep of the Chicago Cubs in the playoffs. The clutch performance earned Ramirez a $45 million two-year contract. That goodwill fizzled the following May when Ramirez tested positive for human chorionic gonadotropin, drug.
Yeah.
A banned female fertility drug often used to help mask steroid use. The Rays had hoped Ramirez could add some pop to a lineup that lost several key pieces of last year's AL East champions, but he played in only 5 games for the Rays with 1 hit and 17 at-bats. He was a .312 career hitter with 13 seasons of 100-plus RBIs, 555 home runs, 14th on the all-time list. Manny Ramirez. There you go, man. Good old Manny.
Well, I think he had a good career, you know, but you make a good point about how the guy going to know, you know?
How's the guy going to know what?
How's he going to know if he's a good hitter if he's taking all that steroid enhancing and all that?
That's steroid enhancing.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. No, I think it's something that eventually people are going to have to, they're going to have to address that aspect of, sporting performance. That's all there is to it. I don't think that there's, look, we've learned a lot about how to make ourselves better physically. Athletes, the same thing. Better nutrition, better vitamins, and so on and so forth. Now you get into performance-enhancing drugs. This is going to become a blurrier and blurrier line, I guarantee you. It's going to become a tougher and tougher thing to read. Are you going to be willing to say in 50 years, shall we say, if they come up with some kind of a, or they uncover some kind of a amino acid or some other neurotransmitter in the brain, a brain chemical, that they're able to synthesize that's also good for you, but also gives you a performance-enhancing pop. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, you're talking about a super vitamin?
Maybe it's a super vitamin, yeah. maybe it's a super vitamin, and maybe it's something we need, and maybe it's something that makes us better as people and makes us healthier. And, oh, yeah, we hit 70 home runs a year. I don't know. I'm not willing to say it's not going to happen. We've seen amazing things. And we better be ready for all of them. I got news for you. Right now, the human race, we're in a tough, tough race. And a lot of us are getting left behind because the exponential explosion of invention, the technological advancement, the advances in science and medicine, all of these things are happening, and they happen, as history teaches us, at a faster and faster pace. You got to stay up with this stuff. This is why Aldous Huxley wrote his book, Brave New World. Okay?
What?
You don't know about Brave New World?
Is that the one where the people were born in test tubes?
Yeah, the one guy was born underdeveloped.
Yes. Well, now, hold on. Huxley envisioned a world of the future in which it was impossible for the traditional democratically structured society, that is, one person, one vote, it was impossible to sustain that. It was impossible to sustain it because of just what I said. As invention and technology and science and medicine and everything else developed at a faster and faster pace, it left more and more people behind, more and more people unable to keep up with understanding what these things were, the ability to use them or operate them, the ability to understand their significance. More and more people were left behind. So Huxley, in his vision of the future, created a society where the participants said the following thing: we are leaving more and more people behind. There's only one thing that we can do. What's that? The smart people have to make the decisions for the less smart people. Well, you can't do that because you'll have a full-scale riot on your hands. Those people, whether they're right or wrong, are always going to want to have a participatory voice. And yes, but if they do, they're going to wreck society because they don't have the knowledge and the intelligence that we have. There's only one thing we can do. What's that? We begin to genetically engineer. Well, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. Those people that we're talking about, the ones that have been left behind sort of in the race for, you know, knowledge, we need them. They're, they fulfill certain tasks. And in Huxley's mind, because he wrote this book in the 30s, there were still elevator operators. So they, you know, like, and he had these, the alphas and the betas and alpha, beta, gamma, epsilon. He put them in the Greek alphabet, the highest being the alpha, the lowest, I believe, was the delta. You see, the epsilon.
What was the epsilon? Was they the elevator operator?
No, it'll be you.
Get out of here, you idiot.
Hey.
Come at me, man.
Both of you guys would be epsilons. How about that?
What would you be?
Take a guess.
Beta.
Take a better guess. Anyway, so yeah, that's what happened. And they began to genetically engineer so that when you have a class of people that you know are not going to be able to keep up in terms of being the higher intelligentsia, inventor, and operator of this society, why not just genetically engineer them from birth to be at that class where they can take care of those jobs, and the upper-level jobs are taken care of people that are genetically engineered for those jobs? And so that's what he wrote in Brave New World. And, of course, it's about much, much more, but the fact is it springs from Huxley's belief, and it's not a far-fetched belief, that this exponential explosion of science and technology that we talk about and that we've been seeing since the beginning of time, but it just gets faster and faster and faster the more and more things we invent, it was bound to leave people so far behind that they would never catch up. And so therefore, rather than create another dictatorial or totalitarian society where you rule over those people and you have this oligarchy of higher intelligence people, you genetically engineer them to be that way. That way they don't complain.
Oh, I get it. So they won't complain because they're genetically engineered not to complain.
Yeah, they put a chemical in them so they won't complain.
No, you idiot. They make them that way.
They make them that way, bud, exactly. The lower caste people don't complain because they're not made to complain. They don't know that there's anything to complain about. All they want is to go to their little job and to have their, in a lot of ways, they're genetically engineered just to be people who dig their jobs, go home, get drunk, and watch whatever sporting event there is. They're just kind of, you know.
They're like my cousin.
Well, there you go, man. I mean, you know, in a lot of ways, they're like me, too. And so maybe I am an epsilon. That's the interesting fallacy of all of this, that even the most intelligent and the most developed of us still like to sit on our ass and watch a ball game and drink a beer. Brave New World, read it, okay?
Is that a bookstore?
Is it at a bookstore?
What do you think if it's a book?
Yeah, but I mean, I was like on online.
Yeah, you can buy it, Kindle, all that bullcrap. All right, coming back, I just spent a whole quarter hour talking about, well, it was a lot more interesting talking about that than it would be talking about Manny Ramirez, I can tell you that. How we got from Manny Ramirez to that, I'll never know. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I tell you what, here's what I think I'm going to talk about, the Labor Department employment data, but who knows where we're going to go from there. Stick around, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
You're an epsilon.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
And, you know, after each and every show on our website at philhenryshow.com, we have our show log. So if you missed the show or missed part of the show, you can go over there and see what was on the show log, and we'll, you know, that's what's on the show log. And it'll tell you what you missed, and you'll go, and then you'll go and realize that you can go to the archives, and you won't be sad anymore because you can hear it there. Is this the phone, bud?
I don't know. He found it.
I found a thing called Meridian Phone. Is that it?
I don't know, man. It was a phone that was advertised in the 90s. It was a phone advertised in the 90s that you could communicate with people no matter where on the face of the earth. I think it was Meridian. I could be wrong. But they lost a lot of money.
I never heard of it.
They lost a lot of money, and the reason they lost a lot of money was the following reason. While it's nice to be able to call a guy standing on top of Mount Everest, you'd rather be able to call somebody in, like, New York or Chicago. And their service that way sucked, you know.
So you could call a guy on what?
You could call a guy. This phone was advertised as a phone that you could call people anywhere on Earth. You can call a guy if he's in the middle of the Gobi Desert and you're in a supermarket in Van Nuys, okay? You could call somebody who's on top of Mount Everest and you're at a tennis club in Chicago, wherever. And that's all fine and dandy, but they didn't have a market for that. There's nobody out there. What the hell are you going to sell that to? You know?
To a mountain climber.
To a mountain climber, huh? How many guys do you think are mountain climbers that need phones like that?
I don't know. Maybe a couple of guys.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of guys ain't going to cut it. Are you guys nuts or something? Oh, hey, we got this phone, man. And I know who we're going to target. Mountain climbers. No. No, 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 no. That's not a big enough market. So they wound up losing their ass. I mean, they lost a lot of bread. But it was the beginning of realizing something that Arthur C. Clarke said, the man who wrote 2001. Arthur C. Clarke said at one time, and it seems pretty simplistic. It seems like a very simple prediction today, but I can tell you, I was a kid at the time he made this prediction, and thinking back, it would have been pretty heavy. He said, there will come a time when we can talk to anybody anywhere on Earth. We'll be able to talk to anyone anywhere on Earth. And if you think about it, with today's cellular technology...
If you get the right calling plan...
Okay, if you get the right calling plan, you can talk to people anywhere. I mean, I was talking to Maria back in whenever the hell it was. When did she go to India, man? I'm on the phone with her, and she's in a car. I'm on the phone with her in a supermarket in Southern California, and she's in a car traveling to the guts of India. She's in India.
What do you mean the guts?
She's, dude, are you listening? She's in a car. She's going down. They were inoculating kids with polio. She was in a car 6 hours outside of New Delhi, I think. 6 hours. They drove in this car right down into the into the sticks, man, of India. You know, down into places in India where they were suspicious of the polio vaccine because they thought it was the Westerners' way of wiping out Muslims. I mean, really, the people were just like, really, had they were just, it was sad, man. But eventually, you know, they got in there and they told them, no, you got to understand, this is for the good of your children. And no, nobody's trying to kill them. And, you know, that's a bunch of bullcrap because these Islamists had told the Muslim people, don't get this polio vaccine. They're going to kill all Muslims. Why would you want your people to die from polio?
Well, maybe they didn't believe it.
Maybe they were stupid too, huh? Even stupider.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that was me on the cell phone with her, and they got the polio vaccine, and the phone connection was secure, and we had the right calling plan. All right, folks, we'll see you tonight. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry, Dan Northcraft, Fred Scotty, and Chris Johnson. We're available on our podcast each and every day. And, of course, you can watch our live streaming video or watch the video archives at philhendryshow.com. Until then, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah! Manny Ramirez!
Go, Manny!